Hallelujah indeed. Please be seated. Dear Christian friends, have you ever been jumped by a passage from the Scriptures? Any student of the Scriptures, and I know you all are, before long encounters a sentence or two that just jumps out at you and grabs you and fills you with awe at its message and at its meaning for your life. Consider the passage before us this morning. The 20th chapter of his gospel, St. John records and reports to us the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. You heard that explored in chapel yesterday. But at the end of that chapter, he adds these words, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." It might not be much of an exaggeration to say about these verses that it's all here. God's entire plan of salvation is encapsulated in just these few words. How many key doctrines of our faith are found right here in this sentence? Keep your worship folder in front of you, please, because we're going to look together at some of these words. The first is this phrase, "These things are written so that." And here we have the necessity of revelation. Do we Christians too often take the Bible for granted? Imagine a world, imagine your life without the Bible. How lost we would be in our sins. How hopeless we would be in the face of death. But here's God's gift to us. He made a plan to save us. And he carried out that plan in the birth and life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to reveal it to us who weren't there to witness it, he had it written down. Here too is taught the sufficiency of Scripture. Look at these words. There are many things it says that happened which are not written in this book, but these are written. You see, God hasn't told us everything. We don't need to know everything. And that's something to remember in many parts of our lives. We may not always understand all of God's ways in our lives, but we don't need to know everything. What has been written is enough. Lutherans used the phrase sola scriptura. Scripture alone is enough for us. From what has been written, it says here, we can believe, and this is God's purpose in this writing. Look at these words in front of you. These are written that you may believe. And that's all that's needed. Believing. Lutherans used the phrase sola fide. Faith alone, belief alone is enough in God's plan to save us. But this faith, this belief is not empty. It's not without an object. After all, many people believe things that are not true. But these things are written so that we may believe what is true. And what is that? Look at these words. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And these words encapsulate for us the person and work of Jesus. That he is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised Savior, promised from the earliest days of history. And that he is the very Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who is capable of living before God in our place, that perfect life of obedience to God that we couldn't live, whose innocent death on the cross was so precious that it paid for the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine, and who had the power to burst the chains of death for us on that Easter morning. That then is the purpose of God's gift of this writing, that we may know who Jesus is, and more than that, that we may believe that this is who Jesus is. And when this work of God creates that belief in our hearts, we are changed. We have life in His name. Life in His name. We've celebrated Jesus' resurrection again this year and been reassured that for us, because of Christ's resurrection, death is a doorway to life. But that's not just a future thing, precious as that is. But we have that life now. Look again at these words. When you are believing, as you are now, believing, you may have life in His name. That's what we have now, life in His name. Appreciate the power of this life in His name. Realize the power of this name in Acts chapter 3. Peter said to the man who couldn't walk, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he did. And in Acts 16, Paul became so troubled by a woman with an evil spirit that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. And in Philippians chapter 2, we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And this powerful name makes a difference in lives, in your life and mine, because your life now is in His name. Jesus has put His name upon you that happened at your baptism, where the Holy Spirit worked faith in your heart and you became a believer. And look at the words, believing, you have life in His name. You've looked carefully at several parts of this wonderful passage, but here is perhaps the best thing about it. It's those words, that word in there that we see twice. Did you spot it? It's the word "you." This time in this passage, it doesn't say many people have life. It says you have life in His name. You are in this verse. You have it in front of you. Read it out loud with me right now, starting from the words "these are written," and emphasize the word "you." Let's read together. "These are written that you may have that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." We can do it better than that. Let's read it one more time. This time, instead of the word "you," substitute your first name, because that's to whom this word "you" refers. Let's read it again. Put in your first name instead of the word "you." Let's read. "These are written that may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing may have life in His name." Now there's a passage that leaps out and grabs you. Or better still, through what is written, God has reached out and seized you and given you life in Jesus' name. Praise and thanks be to God.